nuclear films in Navajo Nation. The Navajo people have been subject to a wide range of devastating actions by the nuclear industry, beginning 80 years ago with uranium mining on their lands, leaving behind more than 500 abandoned, unremediated radioactive mines and radioactive tailings spills. The people are still suffering a wide range of illnesses, ongoing exposures, and disruption of life and health. When the International Uranium Film Festival recently came to Window Rock in Navajo Nation to present 11 films, it provided not just the films, each one a concentrated education on a specific aspect of nuclear issues, with special focus on uranium mining, but an opportunity for the community to gather, communicate concerns, share ideas, get informed and inspired, and focus on what needs to be done next. So when you hear one young Navajo activist tells you,
"We know that because uranium has a long life, it's going to be here for thousands and thousands of years, we have to ensure that we are also giving the right education to the next generation and giving our communities the right information so that they can continue to protect their families. And if they are in a health crisis, this is not your fault. Whatever health issues people are going through, it isn't their fault. We have to put accountability on these war criminals that what they've done is eco-genocide by these types of industries, and they need accountability for everything that they have destroyed in our world."
Well, when Crystal Curley spells it out so clearly, and is one of more than 200 of her peers gathered to watch films, learn what they can, make contacts and plan future actions, you get a chance to see what future challenges and actions await any community that is subject to any part of the nuclear fuel cycle, and thus find themselves in that deadly, dangerous, awful seat that we all share.
Nuclear hot seat, what are those people thinking? Nuclear hot seat, what have those boys been drinking? Nuclear hot seat, the corium is sinking. Our time to act is shrinking, but our activists are leaking. Nuclear hot seat, it's the bomb.
Welcome to Nuclear Hot Seat, the weekly international news magazine keeping you up to date on all things nuclear from a different perspective. My name is Libby Halevi. I'm the producer and host, as well as a survivor of the nuclear accident at Three Mile Island from just 1 mile away. So I know what can happen when those nuclear so-called experts get it wrong. This week, a very special episode. We report from Window Rock, Navajo Nation, located in Arizona, where the International Uranium Film Festival kicked off its 2-month North American tour. We'll hear from activists, elders, and those who have suffered and witnessed suffering caused by uranium mining, accidents, and the nuclear industry's callous disregard for the health and safety of people and the environment. You'll also hear about the people who are fighting back for rights, compensation, cleanup, and general public awareness. Today is Tuesday, March 19, 2024, and here is this week's special on the International Uranium Film Festival on Navajo Nation. It's nuclear news from a different perspective. Here's Nuclear Hot Seat Special, Nuclear Films on Navajo Nation. Sometimes a film festival is about more than just films. The International Uranium Film Festival is traveling for 2 months through the United States and into Canada to present films in 13 cities. Each set of films are curated to the issues, concerns, and needs of that community. Film is a superb way to educate people with concentrated information that has been organized into a form that can be readily understood. Be it a documentary or a drama, films presented in a festival provide a lightning rod for activists, concerned citizens, film lovers, and the curious to find each other and gather in community, to learn more about all aspects of the nuclear fuel cycle, from the deadly impact of uranium mining through weapons, radioactive waste, downwinder issues, and all the rest. I attended the opening 2 days of the International Uranium Film Festival in Window Rock, Navajo Nation, near Gallup, New Mexico, on March 7 and 8. At the beautiful auditorium of the Navajo Nation Museum, the festival screened 11 films over 2 days to large, appreciative audiences. The event attracted activists from just down the road and thousands of miles away, from those who drove 1,200 miles to get there to those who flew in from 9 countries. These are people who are already living through what the future will hold for all other uranium and nuclear communities, and the people who attended were filled with knowledge, anger, pain, illness, rage, and a dedication to action, both physical and spiritual, to hold together their community and fight against uranium. Their battle is personal and generational. Nuclear Hot Seat regularly focuses on the films that have been produced and how important they are, but this time we're going to focus on the people who attended. Why were they there? What did they get out of the experience? What is their vision for the future? We'll start with Klaus Biegert. He is a writer, filmmaker, and journalist who attended from Germany. Klaus helped to create some of our most important anti-nuclear institutions. He initiated the World Uranium Hearing in 1992 in Salzburg, Austria, which led in 1998 to the creation of the Nuclear Free Future Award. Here, he explains how that work led to the founding of the International Uranium Film Festival and its ongoing connection to Navajo Nation.
My name is Klaus Biegert, and I'm here from Germany. And for me, it's a very special moment because in 2006, I was here. We presented the Nuclear Free Future Award, and Norbert was here. And it was then when he decided to start an uranium film festival. To be back and see all the familiar faces is very empowering.
Klaus Biegert directed the film Of the Sense of the Whole, the network of physicist Hans-Peter Dürr. It was about the many physicists who not only worked on the bomb, afterwards, they worked for the rest of their lives to try and guarantee peace. Members of Navajo Nation have been dealing with uranium mining and radiation contamination issues for decades. It's not an intellectual subject to them. It's a real part of their lives, with devastating, ongoing consequences for themselves, their loved ones, their ancestors, and the coming generations. I asked participants what drew them to the festival, why they were there, how uranium mining had impacted their lives, and what they hoped the festival would do for the local community. First, here's Leona Morgan, a longtime activist and regular interviewee on Nuclear Hot Seat, who currently concentrates her actions on Hall No.
What for you is the importance of having this festival in this location?
Thanks, Libby. I am so happy to just come home. I am from this area. Like, I grew up just a few miles down the road. So this is my home. And to have this international event here, it's quite appropriate, I think, because uranium is the beginning of the nuclear fuel chain for both weapons and nuclear energy. And so I think it's important that we have the film festival here. And for myself personally, I helped to organize the film festival in 2013, and I know how much work it is. We did one here in Window Rock and then another one in Albuquerque. This year there's not going to be one in New Mexico. I wish I could try to help with that, but I'm really busy because there's a mine that just started at the Grand Canyon, and so some of the work I do is to stop the transport of uranium from the Grand Canyon to the uranium mill. And this campaign, we call it Hall No. And so I've worked on this issue for myself personally only the last 7 years. We started Hall No in 2016, but Klee Benali and Serena Riggs, our co-founders, both of them have done extensive work around the canyon and on uranium issues and other issues of sacred sites and to, you know, protect the environment and most importantly our precious water and sacred places. Last year in August, there was a national monument declared around the Grand Canyon to protect it from new uranium mining. But there's this huge loophole that allows some mines to actually go forward. And one that has started is called Pinyon Plain, formerly known as Canyon Mine. And so this mine, they want to transport uranium from the Canyon mine, now called Pinyon Plain, to the White Mesa Mill. Both of these facilities are owned by Energy Fuels, a Canadian company. And right now, the price of uranium is pretty high. Earlier this year, it went over $100 a pound. Thankfully, it's going back down, so hopefully the price is not going to stay very high for very long. I mean, as it does, it's going to come back down. But yeah, we're really concerned if the mine should start to transport uranium. We were told they could start this month or next month. What they plan to do is transport up to 12 trucks per day carrying 30 tons of uranium in these big old trucks covered only with tarps. Like they say, oh, the tarps are bolted down, so no uranium's going to get out. But like this whole area, it's already been contaminated and they're trying to do cleanup in some places, and we just don't need more new uranium contamination. Right now, we don't need more uranium at all. We don't drink it. We don't eat it. It doesn't help us with anything. We can't use it for anything, really. They say it's for nuclear weapons or energy, but we really don't need nuclear weapons. We can't eat nuclear weapons. They don't keep us warm at night.
They could keep us very warm, but for a very short period of time.
I mean, they could vaporize us, you know, yeah. And that's what happened to the people, you know, the islands when they detonated Castle Bravo. March 1st was the anniversary of Castle Bravo. And then 10 days later, we got the anniversary of Fukushima. So here we are, right in the middle of those two big anniversaries, having this film festival. And it's actually kind of nice because it's just watching films and talking. We're not here screaming at the government, or it's not a funeral. It's kind of nice to see everybody when it's not a funeral and we're not having to get on stage for our 3-minute rant to the EPA or NRC or whoever. So tonight was nice. I got to talk to the audience, which are mostly people from the area, about this issue that is affecting the area. So, yeah, it's good to be here. Thank you for being here.
Veteran organizers and first-timers of all ages, some Navajo, some not, contributed their thoughts and observations. Here are just a few of their responses.
Rowena Vicente, I am here because the issues are real close to home. I grew up in Crown Point, New Mexico, where uranium was being mined in the 70s and up until maybe the 80s too. I, as a young girl, in my backyard was uranium wasteland that I didn't know, and we actually played in it. As I grew up, I realized that that the mining was all over, and the people in the community, you know, people were working for the uranium mines, and they were, but the rigs were 24/7, and I could look on the hill and just see them lit up all over the place. But as I got older and found out how the uranium and how dangerous it is and how people were getting sick from it, I have relatives that are in Church Rock, so when the Rio Perco, when they had their big spill, it went down in the river, and they live right along that area. I also worked for Los Alamos Labs, and I got to see some of the radiation waste that they are still trying to figure out how to clean up, and the community, how it affected them. So those issues were some of the were real important to me. This is what I volunteer to do.
Cecilia Huizar.
What brought you here? What are you hoping to find here at the International Uranium Film Festival?
Initially, I heard about it through Patooch right here. Everything that I know about uranium and how it's affected so many people is through him. I actually just moved to Albuquerque about a year ago, and I have known like uranium, the detrimental effects even within my own community. I was born and raised in LA. There was a partial nuclear meltdown just a couple miles away. I'm talking about the Santa Susana Pass. This is in
Santa Susana Field Lab. I live 30 miles from there.
Oh, I was born and raised in the valley. So that's how I first heard about uranium and its detrimental effects. Like I've heard about, and this is through like independently learning, because this is not things that they teach us, you know. You really have to dig to find this information. So I'm just learning about the cancer rates in that area. But in particularly in this area, what I've learned and what I know is important is how what we do now with uranium affects our future, everyone that comes after us. What I'm looking forward to learning here is really to learn more, like listening to more stories. Because the more that I learn and the more that I hear from other people's hearts, I can pass that message on to everyone that I pass on. And just keep it going, keep it fuel, to feel that energy from everyone and how passionate they are about stopping any type of uranium in our future is how I know we can continue.
So it sounds like this is the birth of an activist.
Yeah, you could say that.
Henry Soule. The impact that the uranium has put forth onto the land that we utilize. We had about like 1,500 acres and we have 29 mines. So this slowly shut the door on the conservation effort on our part to utilize the land itself. And this uranium is subsurface. It's not deep mines. So our artesian aquifer, we had 16 aquifers. They're all been impacted from this. So this closed, this ceased our livelihood. You cannot use the runoff. We live against a mountain. And the environmental impact is very intensive in our area. It shut the door on our livelihood. Livestock, and there's an artesian well that's about like 500 above this reading on radon. I myself have a pulmonary fibrosis because a lot of these areas, they're already health impact. The radon level is really high, and we lost a mother. She never did work one day of her life in the mines, but living in the area that's already impacted, we talk about a death wish. This is how eventually I'll be having to use oxygen. I run out of breath by talking. I come from an area, Tetka, Arizona. It's between Tisnas Pass, Arizona and Red Mesa, Arizona. We have 29 mines on our land, and the Navajo tribe never did address this. I always say risk assessment, social risk assessment, comprehensive environmental assessment. How do they do that? Are they supposed to study all the family that lives? Maybe they're already impacted health-wise. They never did that. So I come to this conference to see, to hear what has to be said about a lot of this uranium issue. That's what I'm dealing with.
Percy Anderson. I'm from Manuelito, New Mexico. We call in Navajo, Kinhojone.
Why are you here?
Uranium is personal to me because of the impact that the spill from 1979 and prior to 1979 going into the Rio Perco. And the Rio Perco goes right in the center of Manuelito community.
Explain a little more about what it was that actually spilled there.
It was the infamous Church Rock mine spill in 1979 that unleashed thousands of gallons of radioactive waste from that site into the Rio Perco. And it went all the way down, heading west to into other communities, Navajo communities, and end result, a large number of community members from Manuelito have passed on from cancer and other neurological diseases. And it's still impacting people, families today, especially the families that at the time had large numbers and herds of livestock, cows and sheep and goats that used to go into the Rio Perco, you know, to drink the water. And people, of course, ate the meat They butchered the animals and they ate the meat. And so from that point on, it just impacted families that were ranchers and herded their animals.
And have you seen the impact on your own family?
Not for us, because we didn't have livestock and we weren't ranchers. But I am concerned about myself, because in the 70s, especially before 1979, with my other cousins, we used to go down into the Rio Perco and we used to play down there, and we used to build forts and, you know, letting our imagination run wild. So that's the concern I have for myself. And I'm nearing the age of 60. So it's time for me to make sure that my organs are all doing well.
What does it mean to you that the International Uranium Film Festival has been here in Window Rock for 2 days?
Oh, gosh. It means a lot, because we're bringing films in that are being shown from not only here in the United States, but also from around the world, from different countries. And how the impact of uranium mining has really impacted people, the health and well-being of communities. And the one thing that I have come to understand among the Navajo people, Diné, which means the people, is that if there's one issue when it comes to excavation of resources that brings people together on Navajo Nation, it's uranium. Whether they're pro-excavation and mining, or whether they're anti-excavation and mining, uranium is what brings both groups together. Because we already know thousands of people have died from this, and it's still going on today. And then thousands of Navajo people were forcibly relocated because of these type of activities. So not only uranium, but coal mining, and that has really forced people. They were forced to be removed from where they live and relocated to other areas. And so because of that, you know, that trauma is still continuing today from generation to generation of being removed from where they ancestrally lived for a long time. So this event is what brings attention to a lot of these issues that are happening. The primary concern that we have today when it comes to excavation and mining activities is our concern for water. There are a lot of locations on the Navajo Nation where we have contaminated water due to excavation and mining activities. So we need to protect any uncontaminated water that we have beneath our feet. And we got to protect that water and making sure that it's not used for energy producing activities on Navajo Nation. Because if that time ever comes to where we get cut off from the water coming from the Colorado River or even from southern Colorado onto the Navajo Nation, we will have no choice but to resort to the water that we have naturally on Navajo Nation. And we have to make sure that those locations are protected, and that if there ever comes a time to resort to our own water, we will know that that water is safe to drink.
We learned about some people who walked into the festival with no idea of what they were walking into.
My name is Wanda Brown. I do live here on the Navajo Reservation, and I am volunteering today and tomorrow. Direct connection with my family personally, I don't have really any direct connection, but I am aware of what's going on with the uranium issues. It's also a learning experience for me. I've been introduced to it for many years. This festival here, film festival, just kind of enlightened already what I already know, and just added some more, I guess, strength to it. And it's good to see a lot of people here, and a lot of people that have been affected personally with the uranium spillage, the uranium mines that are on Navajo land.
You've been sitting here and selling t-shirts and answering questions and that sort of thing. What kind of comments have you heard people make about their experience here?
I hear a lot about the films that have been going on inside the auditorium here, I can see their reaction when they come out from the auditorium, of how some are like, you know, their eyes are big, and I can just tell what's going on in their mind after viewing. I was in there for about an hour this morning when I first got here, so I know what they're feeling when they came out, because that's how I was feeling in there. There's a lot of anger that I was feeling as well. I also witnessed mining going on in other countries. I just thought it was around here in our area, but like in Canada, you know, there's some spillage over there. But I also learned that some people don't mine it. They don't mine it. And I'm like, how can they not mine, you know, because they said, well, when the mining industry left, they missed it. And I'm like, oh, it was detrimental to them. I felt, you know, it's because it's not good. But I guess it was the money part that they had missed. And for us here on Navajo land, you know, it's affected a lot of our people with cancer, and how it's not, the spills are not being cleaned up. It's just amazing just to hear all this and to see the people's expression. I think this is a good thing that's going on. It's educating people, a lot of people. We had a group here from Pennsylvania that came in, a group of college students, and they were wondering what was going on. And I think they went in there and they came out like, wow, they didn't know. You know, they didn't. They just happened to be here because it's a museum, and then now this is happening, and they, it's just opened up their eyes. That was pretty amazing today.
Those Pennsylvania college students weren't the only ones who found themselves in proximity and wandered in for a while.
It's Jocelyn
Lewis.
And where are you here from?
San Francisco.
What brings you to the International Uranium Film Festival in Window Rock?
I just joined a new company that's working on climate change, so I'm trying to learn more.
You realize that nukes are not green?
I do realize that.
Okay, stick around. It's great having you on our side.
Thank you so much.
At least she understands the issues. The energy of young activists proved heartening and encouraging. One was Crystal Curley. Not only is she carrying on work to support her people, she proves that the apple does not fall far from the tree when it comes to Navajo Nation organizing against nuclear.
Hi, my name is Crystal Curley, and I'm originally from Chachalta, New Mexico, which is 20 miles south of Gallup. And I run a nonprofit called Indigenous Lifeways.
And what does that deal with?
With Indigenous Lifeways, it's stemming and growing from the work that my mother has done at Arondon under the Southwest Indigenous Uranium Farm. It's getting closer to 40 years now that she's been doing work around uranium. Under that uranium farm, we're doing regional, national, international convenings. And so from that work, our family decided that there was an extra need for more community involvement, community education around uranium and other extractive industries. So we formulated Indigenous Lifeways about 10 years ago, and we became official 501c3 8 years ago, and that's when I became the director. So for the past 8 years, I've been directing Indigenous Lifeways and expanding the work to go beyond uranium and really exposing environmental racism and the economic exploitation that we've experienced for over 140 years in our county of McKinley. And we also really ensure that in this fight that we're grounding a lot of our narrative around protecting the sacred sites, protecting our indigenous sovereignty, to ensure that our identity is intact for 500 plus more years to come. Another part of my upbringing is I'm also a filmmaker. So with our work, we really ensure that that media part is there to ensure that our folks are equipped with the right tools to tell their stories with no filter. So it could be podcasting, filming, graphic design, poetry, all of those. It's under our social justice multimedia toolkit. So we're relaunching it this weekend simultaneously with the film festival, but this weekend is also the Oscars. So we're calling out Oppenheimer as well. We're doing a whole campaign around indigenous representation in media, and in also ensuring our folks have, again, the right tools to tell their story. That's the environmental part. And it's really heavy, so to balance all of that, we do an Indigenous Women's Working Group, which focuses a lot around Indigenous teachings, Diné teachings, our traditional ways of life, and really ensuring we know
the reasons why we're protecting the sacred and that we're not commodifying the sacred. And so we do new moon meditations every new moon for the past 3 years. And during the COVID response, we knew that it was going to really heavily impact Navajo Nation because of the extractive industries, because there's huge health impacts. And we know that a lot of our community members are immunocompromised. So right when we shut down March 13th, almost exactly 4 years ago, we were able to formulate the McKinley Mutual Aid and feed over 7,000 families because we knew the impacts of these extractive industries and the health is also impacted.
So with all of your work, which is so extensive and so marvelous to see, especially in someone as young as you are, how does the film festival fit in with that?
The film festival is a perfect match for all of the work that we've been doing. It's really uplifting this issue, not only as in Window Rock, or U.S., but this is a universal issue that spans different sectors, from uranium to depleted uranium to weapons to the mining to transportation. So this convening and this effort, International Uranium Film Festival, is bringing that global perspective, and through film and through art, we really support those types of efforts.
Long may you wave.
Thank you so much. Yes, and you know, we really appreciate all the folks that have come out to come to Window Rock. It's really important that we continue this narrative in person, because it's so crucial that we have these conversations, we're networking here, we're ensuring that this narrative doesn't lose its momentum, because this work is generational. It's like my mother passed it down to me, so I was born into this type of work. And for over, and I found my own pathway with community advocacy when I was 14, doing nonprofit work, anti-racism stuff. So we know that because uranium has a long life, it's going to be here for thousands and thousands of years, we have to ensure that we are also giving the right education to the next generation and giving our communities the right information so that they can continue to protect their families. And if they are in a health crisis, that they're not at fault. This is not your fault. Whatever health issues people are going through, it isn't their fault. We have to put accountability on these war criminals, that what they've done is eco-genocide by these types of industries, and they need accountability for everything that they have destroyed in our world. So I'm thankful that I'm in this space with everybody, and I have my daughter and my niece here. That's how we can do it.
The next generation just came running up.
Yes, the next generation is here and they're learning, and that's what it's about. We have to have these experiences. Bring your babies here. That's what it's about. I only say it's a real community event if you have your elders there and you have a baby crying. That's a community event right there. And if that those things aren't there, then you don't have community. You have to ensure our elders are there, our women are there, our two-spirit relatives are there, and our babies are there.
In just a few moments, we will continue with this Nuclear Hot Seat special on the International Uranium Film Festival in Window Rock on Navajo Nation. But first, communicating the truth about nuclear. That's what the International Uranium Film Festival does, and that's the self-selected mandate, the mission statement for Nuclear Hot Seat. We provide you with information that is not influenced by the millions of dollars the nuclear industry spends on its weekly propaganda press releases and attendant media. We let you know what you face in terms of threats to health, welfare, and safety, and what you, what we, what any of us can do about it. Every week, we bring you the kind of nuclear information that mainstream media just doesn't seem to have the heart or time or money to put on the air or in print. And on occasion, such as this past week, we were able to travel to events in order to go up close and personal, on site, with the work of committed activists. It's a privilege to be allowed to come into the lives of people who have been struggling against nuclear issues and be trusted with their truth, with their pain, with their power, and the important messages that they want and need to share. But this kind of commitment does not come easily or cheaply. Nuclear Hot Seat runs exclusively on donations and cannot survive without your support. So if you're grateful for the information you get from the show, now is a perfect time to help us out. Be it a one-time donation or a monthly recurring, you'll be supporting the services required to keep this program up and running. Nuclear Hot Seat is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, which means that your donations are tax deductible. And we make it easy. Go to nuclearhotseat.com, click on the red donate button, and follow the prompts. Or you can send directly via Zelle to info@nuclearhotseat.com. No amount is too small, no amount is too large, so don't wait. Go to nuclearhotseat.com to donate now and keep our nuclear news and our in-person reporting online. Whatever you can do to help, I'm deeply grateful that you're listening and that you care. Now back to this week's special on the International Uranium Film Festival and the launch of its North American tour at Window Rock and Navajo Nation. It was great for me to meet face-to-face with many former interviewees of Nuclear Hot Seat. Several were there. They are still active, still learning, still growing, and still making an important difference.
Joni Ahrens, Concerned Citizens for Nuclear Safety.
Why do you think it's important that the film festival is here, and what do you want to see it addressing?
I think it's addressing everything that I wanted in terms of being able to network and to be able to see some amazing new films about the impacts of the nuclear industry in both the weapons side and the power side. You know, these are such complicated issues that seeing a movie like about the women at Three Mile Island allows us to hear from actual people who have been impacted. And we are able to hear and see what they've gone through for over 45 years of time since the accident in 1979. You know, it's just amazing to hear their voices. And then also to network with old friends. You know, there's people here that I've known for 40 years and I've worked with for 40 years or 35 years or 30 years on these various issues. If you talk to Anna Rondon, one of the organizers, she says, oh yeah, we've worked together forever, you know? Which is really heartwarming.
And what do you think that this festival is doing for the local community?
Oh, tremendous. Bringing people together and people understanding that their story is the same as stories on the other side of the country or other side of the world.
Joni Ahrens. She gave Nuclear Hot Seat a classic travelogue. Joni's Toxic Tour of Los Alamos. It was on episode number 481 from September 9th, 2020. And is well worth checking out at nuclearhotseat.com. Navajo Nation took advantage of this opportunity to fill the museum's lobby with tables for various services and programs related to uranium issues. Here are just a few.
I am Ruth Thomas, and I am from Shiprock, New Mexico, Navajo Nation.
You are here with the Navajo Uranium Workers Program. What is that and what are they hoping to achieve?
Our program helps people who had worked in the mine as a miller transporter and also a downwinder for Arizona, Utah, and Nevada. And we fill out applications from the federal government, Department of Justice, and we submit their claims, and if all good, they get compensated.
Oh, is this about the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act?
Yes, RECA.
With RECA up for renewal, have you been involved with helping to push for the renewal and the expansion of the act?
Yes, we had been talking with the legislators out in the state of New Mexico and also with our own Navajo Nation.
And how are they disposed towards all of this?
Well, we spoke with two council delegates, whereas, you know, they're up for it, but the legislation, we just sent emails having us to support them and having them to go forth with the RECA reauthorization.
And how has the uranium mining, the leftover uranium tailings, the contamination of Navajo Nation, how has that affected you personally?
The uranium mining tailing has affected not only me, but my people, the Navajo. We have lived right next to tailings. And a lot of our people have come forth with cancers. They're getting sick every day. And some of these compensations that are written on our downwinder does not compensate for such cancers. We only have about maybe 20 cancers that are compensable disease that's on there. And it hurts our people because, you know, even the ages of the people that could be compensated, you know, on downwind, you have to have been born 1961 in order to be compensated for downwind. So that's another thing, because our younger generation are dying of cancer each day.
Hi, my name is Julius Roanhorse. I'm here with the National Indian Youth Council. A couple of years back, I started a film initiative to get more Native Americans into the film industry of New Mexico. So now I'm here trying to bridge the gap out to the Navajo Nation and bring more opportunities here as well.
How has it been going for you so far?
Oh, it's been great. You know, I watched a lot of films yesterday, and I'm excited to watch more today. A lot of great producers, directors, and a lot of our organizations here that are really trying to bring the issue of uranium to light for the Native people.
What other things besides the film initiative does the National Indian Youth Council provide?
We provide educational and work experience for Native Americans of New Mexico, 18 years and up. So we pay them an educational stipend to go to school, as well as we find temporary work for them from 8 to 15 weeks. And we also have supportive services, which support these students and young professionals, so we can help out with their childcare costs, their housing costs, and eyewear, and as well as any other accessories they need.
Have any of the films from your film initiative been shown yet at the International Uranium Film Festival, or do we still have that to look forward to?
You guys will still have that to look forward to. Right now, we're still in the infant process of getting development in our program, but we are excited to be releasing the New Mexico Film and Media Traineeship Program, where we will be developing these filmmakers to, you know, submit more films like the Uranium Film Festival, as well as Sundance Film Festival. And we're just really giving our Native American youth and filmmakers a platform to express their art.
Can't wait to see them.
On Navajo Nation, the pain and suffering caused by uranium mining, accidents, radioactive materials spills, illnesses, forced relocations that fracture communities and families to accommodate the cleanups, the lack of Radiation Exposure Compensation Act funds. All of it started 80 years ago, but continues to this day. A few of those present honored me by sharing the truth and the pain of what they have experienced.
My name is Tony Hood. I live in Ground Zero, where right between the two mines, Church Rock, used to be Kermit Gee and United Nuclear. And we live right in that area. All our families, even though they did not work in the mines, just living in the proximity of that mine has affected them. They're having breathing problems. I have a kidney problem, prostate problems. It's accelerating my symptoms for diabetes. My children used to walk through that contaminated area, and later they found out that that whole area was contaminated.
Why are you here at the festival?
To expose those people that took from Mother Earth. If you want to use a plant, anything, you're supposed to make an offering. Get your corn pollen, make an offering, and talk about what you are going to take and what are you going to use it for. These guys, the big companies, they just came and raped the land and didn't even make an offering. They came and desecrated our biosphere, lithosphere, hydrosphere, atmosphere. So all that's been compromised. They really don't care. They think we're expendable. But we are sacred, sacred people. So is everybody. We're not expendable.
My name's Norman Patrick Brown. I'm from the Navajo Nation.
You've been involved with fighting against uranium mining for how long now?
In 1979, I was 19 years old, and I was very deeply honored. I was asked to speak on behalf of the, at that time we called the National Sacrifice Area, where the Navajo Nation was suffering from extractive mineral exploitation from various corporations, from the federal government, as well as our own Navajo Nation government. And it was the World Conference on the A&H bomb. It was a time where the nuclear fever detente and all the major powers of the world were accumulating their nuclear high-grade weapons. It was part of that START treaty that all the world's governments agreed to limitations of nuclear weapons, and that's how the World Conference on the A&H bomb. And there was a massive gathering of people, tens and tens of thousands of people. This was in 1979. I had just turned 19, and I did as much research as I could. I spoke with a couple of people that dealt with the uranium issue in the Eastern Agency. At that time, there wasn't much on Navajo. But I did look at the fuel cycle, and I realized that we were at the front end of the fuel cycle. As young as I was, I knew that, as I still know today, that this issue will never, never, ever be solved. There's just no way. It's bleak, it's truthful, and it's heartbreaking, but that's the truth. The radiation will always be here. The water will always be contaminated. The DNA structure within our own Diné humanity will always be there. The only thing that we can continue to do is find the best ways of taking care of the situation. That's all we could. The federal government ain't going to do nothing for us. They never have, never will. And the realization is that I've always known all my life that we're on our own. That's the truth. That's just the truth. People may differ. People may talk about, oh, Congress made certain laws, certain amendments regarding compensation. We, you know, compensation is good, but you can't undo radiation.
Norman Patrick Brown. Our conversation continued for nearly 20 minutes and ranged over issues of spirituality, Navajo beliefs, loss, and some of the darker fears that Norman and many of us harbor, though we don't usually talk about them. That extension of this interview will be featured on a future episode of Nuclear Hot Seat. One of the most deeply affecting stories that I was told touched upon the spiritual nature of uranium and the part it plays in Navajo creation stories. This is what Bobby Leonard Mason shared.
Bobby Leonard Mason. You know, we're here at the Uranium Film Festival, and this is a lot of education, a lot of re-education, you know, is going on with these films. It's imperative that we listen and we understand, you know, where we're moving into the future. This is on nuclear colonialism, resource colonialism that's going on with the Navajo Nation. And so these stories, they're telling us, you know, where nuclear threats have come from, where they are today, and where they're going. We've lived through it. We've seen it with our families. And where is it taking us now into the future? We have the so-called green energy telling us that these monsters are safe for us. You know, we call them monsters because that's what they are in our creation stories. We were told that these beings that live in the earth should stay in the earth. And now they've been uncovered. And we tried to warn the world where it's taking us. We see it today. What have we forgotten about those stories? Underneath the story, there's a truth. Because those stories aren't just stories. We're still living that creation story today. And so how are we going to battle this monster next? The toxic legacy is going to be forever with us now. You know, this monster has a half-life of billions of years. I can't be too certain of that number, but it is a number that is beyond my comprehension. How long are we going to have to fight these monsters now? How long are our children going to have to fight? It's sad that children are growing up having to fight. You know, we thought we could tame these things in our lifetimes. How many lifetimes is it going to take? And so that's my understanding about this film festival here, is retelling those stories. Keep telling the stories, because, you know, who else is going to listen and who else is going to tell them if we don't?
As he went on, generational pain, irretrievable losses, the deep pain of what uranium does to a person and a people were evident.
You know, my grandfather worked in the uranium mine or mill site east of Tuba City, on the Navajo Nation. And, you know, those stories that I hear, and even living in the downwinder area, you know, the stories are told that, you know, that our life has been changed. You know, there's a community not less than 20 miles away where they had to evacuate the community. They had to move everybody out and condemn the area. There was trailers there for decades. I remember seeing them just on the side of the road. They were livable, but nobody was living in them because of the toxic levels that were in the area. And so those affected my family directly in the sense that, you know, my grandmother got sick with cancers, fought it for many years. We used traditional medicines, natural medicines of the earth that we know from our practitioners as people of the earth. We went through Western medicine, radiation, chemotherapies. We went through surgeries. You know, they cut off one of her breasts. Just to see her sadness, just to see her not whole, and just to see how frightened she was of the future, and to see how worried she was that she wasn't going to be here for her grandkids to teach them any further. Those were the challenges. Those are the hardships, because the monsters, they took our elders. They took our stories. They took our understandings. You know, a lot of our ways are missing because of our neglect to listen to as the next generation. We should have listened when they were telling us these stories of how the future is going to be. But the stories they told us, they don't go in one ear and out the other. Our brain is like one of the best computers in the world. All the stories our elders ever told us, they're always in our brain. It's about recall now. How do we recall the information that they've given us? How do we recall the intrinsic DNA memory that we have? How do we recall all that? Because that's in us as well. You know, those stories will teach us how to live on into the future, teach us how to live off the land again. And so those are how it impacted my family, as we lost our stories. We lost our elders. We lost the rock to our family. Our grandparents were the people that kept our families together. And right now, my grandfather is sitting ill. You know, he's under the care of medical doctors, you know. He's a holy man. He's a Yebichi. And so we go to our traditional practitioners as well, and we utilize Western medicine, but it's not helping. And so I sit there with these understandings today that my grandfather won't be here any much longer because of, you know, these sicknesses from working in these mines and the mills maybe. And so that was how it directly affected my family. And right now, you know, cancer is in our family. It's moving into the younger generations. And so I'm afraid that has affected us forever now. You know, these radionucleotides, then they transform the body. They mutate the DNA. So in 50 generations from now, we may not even look the same as who we are today. And that's what worries me too. And that's how it directly affects all of us now.
Bobby Leonard Mason. The festival concluded with the award ceremony, which granted the International Uranium Film Festival Lifetime Achievement Award to both Klaus Biegert and festival organizer Anna Rondon. I spoke with Anna over breakfast the next day.
Anna Rondon, you were the coordinator here for the International Uranium Film Festival at Window Rock on Navajo Nation. Mm-hmm. And the festival has just completed. What was this like for you?
I believe the event was just a reaffirmation of the attendance of the people. We had 9 different countries from around the world represented, and different indigenous groups from the Southwest, even as far as Fairbanks, Alaska. And so I think, you know, putting this festival on, there was no problems. It was just, everything came so naturally. It was meant to be. And out of this, we wanted to make sure that we had ceremony. So we had started the sacred fire. We had a German man do his prayer offering, saying that for his people, misusing fire as nuclear weapons and energy, he asked for forgiveness on behalf of his people. So we set a seed in that fire and the water in the Hogan. And to spread that prayer of a nuclear-free world. And I hope that all of these different countries that came here can find inspiration. but the battle's still not over. We need more of our leaders to stop investing in nuclear energy. And so we do hope that the women of Three Mile Island, the women of the Church Rock Uranium Dam catastrophe in 1979, can really collectively gather and pray together and stand together in Congress to stop the madness of the nuclear monster. We need monster slayers that will fight and protect our people and the future generations and all living creatures and our Father Universe as well.
What sort of a change or a boost do you feel that having the festival here has made for those in the local community who have had uranium so inflicted upon them?
Before the festival, you know, we had different indigenous uranium forums since 1986. We would go to different communities. And so it feels that those seeds 40 years ago, you see new generation now, you see different types of our professionals in environmental protection. We have Navajo scientists. It's not like it was years ago. So now we have the time, the space, and the expertise of our people to put together the crime scene of America in terms of the nuclear accidents, the radiation exposures. Someone is responsible. So this festival really helps in a non-intimidating way, but more of an art cinema way of storytelling, is very impactful. I just want to thank Nuclear Hot Seat for all the beautiful work in creating this archive, because all of your recordings need to go to the Library of Congress for records for the future generations and to be used in universities around the world. Thank you, LeBay, for all your work.
And thank you, Anna, for yours.
Anna Rondon. For now, the last word goes to Norbert Sukhanek, who, along with Marcio Gomez de Oliveira, founded the International Uranium Film Festival and serves as its co-director.
Norbert, what has been the significance of starting out your U.S. tour, your North American tour of the International Uranium Film Festival here in Window Rock?
The festival was born in Window Rock. It was born in the year 2006 when I was invited to be part of the Indigenous World Uranium Summit. At that event, I saw a film that called Return of Navajo Boy from Jeff Spitz. And this film was so moving. And I was thinking, why I just can't see such films in places like Window Rock? Why we cannot watch those films in big cinemas or in other countries? So there in Window Rock started the idea to create a film festival to bring those films to the people, and not just only to the anti-nuclear or anti-uranium movement. Those films must be watched by all of us.
How do you feel it went on the 2 days of the festival here?
All the people I talked to are saying it was one of the most wonderful events they have ever been. They met so many people with big hearts, and everybody felt at home. In fact, nobody wanted that the festival ended. They wanted that it's going on. And I must say, and I want to add, it will go on.
Where do you go next?
We are going next to Tucson in the next 3-4 days. And then we are going to drive to Austin, Texas, and then to Asheville, Northern Carolina, and then up to Chicago. And, well, 2 months traveling, 2 months meeting great people, and 2 months hard work. I just want to say the last words of the festival. Our film festival has seen it again. It's not a film festival just about watching films on nuclear issues. It's a festival about meeting people and about making friends. In these days of war, war in Eastern Europe, war in Gaza, war against animals, plants, war against Mother Earth, we must remember that humankind was created to make friends and not to make war. If it would have been created to make war, we would have been extinct thousands of years ago. But we are still here, because we are still able to remember that we are here to make friends.
The International Uranium Film Festival continues making friends on its North American tour. By the time you hear this, it will have presented for 2 days in Tucson, Arizona, 1 day in Austin, Texas, and then be on its way to Asheville, North Carolina on March 23rd and 24th. Other cities on the tour are Chicago, Spokane, Vancouver, British Columbia, Olympia, Washington, Portland, Oregon, Salem, Oregon, Las Vegas, and Santa Barbara, California. For more details, go to uraniumfilmfestival.org and click on the tab for USA 2024. This has been Nuclear Hot Seat for Tuesday, March 19, 2024. If you'd like to get Nuclear Hot Seat delivered via email every week, it's easy. Go to nuclearhotseat.com. There's a big honking yellow box that pops up. Put in your first name and an email address, and every week you will get one, only one email, which includes a link to that week's show as soon as it posts, plus a short description of what the subject matter is. Or if you prefer, you can sign up at your favorite podcast channel, the goal being that you never miss a single episode of Nuclear Hot Seat ever again. Now, if you have a story lead, a hot tip, or a suggestion of someone to interview, send an email to info@nuclearhotseat.com. And remember, if you can go to Nuclear Hot Seat and donate, we really need your help and will appreciate your support. This episode of Nuclear Hot Seat is copyright 2024, Libby Halevi, Nuclear Hot Seat and Hartistry Communications. All rights reserved, but fair use allowed as long as you cite the program, the website, and the names of any guests whose comments you use. For now, this is Libby Halevi of Nuclear Hot Seat reminding you, you can't undo radiation. There you've got it, your weekly nuclear wake-up call. So for heaven's sakes, do not go back to sleep, because we are all in the nuclear hot seat.
Nuclear hot seat, what are those people thinking? Nuclear hot seat, what have those boys been drinking? Nuclear hot seat, the corium is sinking. Our time to act is shrinking, but our activists are linking. Nuclear hot seat, it's da bomb.